Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive. We are in hour two of show number 88. That was new music, the last song you heard. New music, Straight Lines. Before that was Willis's pick, Nation of Language and Ept Apollo, which was 2025. So Straight Lines, that song was 79.
Old
crazy.
Music, actually.
So 46 years earlier is when that came out. But to me, they could have been around at the same time. That's a credit to Nation of Language, because they do a good job at capturing that 80s, early 80s new wave sound. They nail it. I have a lot to say, and I'm not going to overdo it. I know I can be very chatty about things when I start talking about memories, but I want to hear your thoughts on new music, Straight Lines.
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's okay to be chatty on this one because of the how you heard about it. But I would say that I like the... There's a whole subtle electro chord progression underneath the lyrics here that you really have to listen intently. But it's a really solid, I'd call a solid platform of synth. And for 1979, that's pretty advanced, I would have to say. So the what I felt unique about this also was the vocals. The singers have this high, like, is it one guy or two guys? I'm not sure, because there's like a harmony that's going on.
Yeah, but I know there's one main singer, but probably okay. Group harmony.
Okay, but then they sing in this high, like, I'd call it like a rocker, like, you know, lead singer from Styx or Rush back in those days, way up there. But in this, it's more subtle, harmonized way, this way gives it that softer, new wave kind of feel to me. And so that puts it in an era for me, which is great. I'd never heard this song before, and the fact that it's called New Musik sounds kind of German to me, but it's actually old music from a band called New Musik, so I thought that's ironic.
I was telling Willis, I tried to find this on CD for so many years. My Uncle Jimmy I talked about him on the show a lot. He used to give my dad and I mixtapes, my dad's brother. And when he'd give these tapes, there would be specific, like he put stuff I knew, like Tom Petty or, you know, Pink Floyd or whatever, Squeeze, a lot of that kind of stuff, Elvis Costello. But then there'd be stuff that like only he seemed to know about, like my dad wouldn't know about it. Like it just was one of those things where he was digging deeper, like I do now, or like you do now. He was doing that all the time. So he just had all like a vault of music that I inherited. And it was bands like this, which were just kind of like non-mainstream, off the beaten path, but he would find these imports and that were popular in the UK, but not really here in New York at that time. But he would hear them either on college radio or on like this song on WPIX radio, 101.9, I think that was in the 70s. And then he'd go buy the records at wherever he went to buy his records. And he'd buy them for me for my birthday and things like that. So man, this was on a mixtape that I tried tracking it down for years. When my uncle passed away, I inherited his collection. And so I had this song on 45. But years later, when CDs took over, I wasn't listening to vinyl anymore. So I needed to get it on CD, and I had to search everywhere. I paid like $30 for an import to get this album from A to B. And, you know, so it becomes more rewarding when you get it.
Yeah.
Now I'm back to my vinyl ways. So I found this on import not long, like a couple years back. So I get to listen whenever I want.
But man, I wish everybody had an Uncle Jimmy like yours, because if they did, I think the art of music appreciation or the habit of music appreciation would be so much further evolved, because he gave you music that you wouldn't have found otherwise, that he thought that you would like, which is, it's an amazing gift, right? And imagine how many people would be, if everybody had an uncle like that, to kind of provide them new thoughts and ideas, especially in music. I think music production, or maybe even as an art form, would be on a different level, because we get so easily binned into the music that we're listening to and then we stick there. So having outside influences is so important to mixing it up.
We could be Uncle Greg, Uncle Willis, and do this for people.
I guess that's what we are doing, yeah.
Even we are doing it on the radio. My nephews, both of them, one's very young, one's a teenager. I tried so much, especially with my oldest nephew, James. Like, I bought him a turntable. I bought him a couple of records.
Yeah.
You know, but he just doesn't have an interest in learning about or caring about music. He'll listen to music. You know, he's into hip hop. He's into whatever kids are into, but he's not really a music guy. Not the way he is, but it's like what his friends are listening to. He's not looking to discover at all. And my youngest nephew's like kind of, they are into like, I can play music for them, like oldies and stuff, and they get into it, but they're not really. And I think to myself, man, I'm not doing what my uncle did for me. Like, because he started me on that journey to finding all these kind of artists that I'm into throughout my life, because he made me think there's well more beyond what's on the radio that you need to like kind of find for yourself. And right. Now that's what I do, you know, just sort of what you're doing now, too.
Right. So I guess you should give him, I guess I should give him credit the other way in that he saw the potential in you and he saw that you were absorbing it. And so he.
Oh, absolutely.
You, right. Not everybody's going to respond to that. So I get that.
That's a great, great point. And I to credit my Uncle Jim with so much, Uncle Jimmy with so much of what I am. I do. My dad used to say all the time, like, you know, you are my brother. You are exactly like him, except I may have been a little more ambitious in certain times to get into music. He really wasn't. But as far as getting into a career of music, but it's cool to bring all these things out. And even this is really the only spot for me to play these kind of songs. They deserve to be played, but like, I can't play new music straight lines on rotation. Most people don't know it, but to be able to talk about it and explain why here, because to me, that is, those songs open the door to all these other songs, including this song that we're going to play next. How about this? Come Back Around. Blondie Heart of Glass was on that same mixtape that this song was on. The mixtape that had Straight Lines, not this version of Heart of Glass, but the original version. It also had, from the same album, from the Parallel Lines album, Hanging on a Telephone was on that same mixtape. And Picture This. So to give you an idea of how this all kind of wraps around, it's kind of cool.
You really kind of brought this thing, like this song just blew up now, because my choice is, so you kind of pre-told my story a little bit, which is perfect, because I chose this song, Blondie Heart of Glass, because of my uncle. So my uncle Leander recently passed away, and we had a service for him not too long, just a couple weeks ago. And I got really involved with that because he was one of an uncle. I have many, many uncles. My parents had a lot of siblings. And so I grew up around uncles all the time. My uncle Leander, though, he was one of my youngest uncles. And so when I was barely a teenager, I happened to be visiting his house, and he was still in his late 20s, maybe early 30s. And he had shown me this album. He first showed me a record player, and he had a Blondie album. It was this, Heart of Glass. And I said, "Who's Blondie?" And he said, "Oh, I'll play it for you." And everybody knows the song, but her vocals on this, Deborah Harry's vocals, are so different. And I didn't know what she was saying, but it was so different that I'd never heard anything like it. It blew me away. And, you know, little did I know that was like the sound of disco at the time, and I don't think I really understood disco, but that song always stood out to me, and I thought, man, my uncle's really cool. Like, he goes disco dancing and listens to Blondie. And so anyways, one of the things that I put in his casket with him, not in the casket, but in we buried his urn. And I had a 45 of Blondie, so I put it down. I gave him Blondie back, because he gave me Blondie. And
so cool. This song.
It had a lot of meaning for me. And so I chose this song, Heart of Glass, but it's a different version. This is called the Crabtree Remix. It's Blondie with Philip Glass. So interesting, right? Heart of Glass by Philip Glass and Blondie. But also, this is an uncle, like a tribute to an uncle, like your Uncle Jimmy. This is my uncle's influence on me.
And I love the story of the Uncle Leander. You've been talking about him recently, so I feel like I've been getting to know about him and his impact and who he was. A little bit, but I've gotten pieces of that since you had just gone through his passing. And when you said this story about him introducing you, first of all, it struck me, really cool that he picked this song, because Heart of Glass, the original, was Giorgio Moroder. It was like, you know, post-disco. It was sort of like punk going disco. And it was such a clever, like, new wave disco dance electronic song. Sounded nothing like anything else. And I know how progressive this song was at its time it came out. So yeah. That's cool to me that he introduced you. And this is your, you were mentioning about more Uncle Jimmy's. Well, Uncle Leander sort of did the same thing to you.
In
by
a
giving
way.
You this song, you know, that's a pretty good one to start with.
In a way, the other side story to that is at the service, my sister came from LA and to the service, and we were talking. And I also mentioned that Uncle Leander was very into fashion. And so when I graduated high school, he gifted me a very generous, like a really nice leather jacket. And so, you know, I spoke about that at the service. And my sister came up to me afterwards and said, "Oh, I got a leather jacket too from my graduation. Did he also give you a CD?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't get a CD." And then I said, "Well, what CD was it?" And she said, "It was Nina Cherry." And I was
what?
Like, "Oh my goodness. I just played Nina Cherry on the Deep Dive a couple weeks ago."
Wow.
Yeah, right. So he was trying to influence my sister, like, "Hey, you should listen to this Nina Cherry."
See, this is what I'm telling you. My uncle did that with my sister too. He bought her albums that he thought she would like, you know, Prince or whatever. Purple Rain, he bought her, I remember. He bought her another one that was like, I think it was Men at Work.
Oh, man. Cheers to the uncles. Right?
Cheers to the uncles, yeah. I mean, listen, and if you're listening to this and you have nieces, nephews, kids, feed them music. I feel like so many kids just walk out into this world just taking what's given to them on the radio. And even though we're on the radio and there are some people, there's not as much of that going on these days as people just like putting some new interesting things. But there's so much music out there that you could just go. Now it's free to everybody. You could go get it on YouTube, anywhere. Unlimited music. And these songs, hopefully when you hear them, the whole point of this show is to maybe trigger something to make you want to go and like search more, find more of these songs, maybe save it in your Spotify when you hear a song you like, or go and listen more of those, that band. I mean, that's what really the whole point of discovery is. So your choice of Heart of Glass, one of my all-time favorite songs, but I'm gonna tell you, this was nothing like the original. It even changed, like, I almost feel like they had to re-edit the vocals to make it work in this arrangement.
Probably, yeah.
So clever.
Vocals. They spun it, they kind of spun it around.
It's like a new song.
They made it very somber, right? And maybe a little bit chilling. It feels a little bit like that song Requiem for a Dream, which has kind of got this solo violin. But it's very, very chilling, and I would say somber. And that's, for me, it's a fitting way to remember my uncle. And it's a little bit sad, but, you know, it's okay to be sad, right, when you lose something or someone.
This version is fitting for this. I agree with you. More so than the original.
Oh, definitely.
But this is crazy.
I mean, both are fun. Yeah.
I use the word unresolved in this because there's something so unsettling about it.
You're right.
But people are going to love this. New version of Heart, well, relatively new version of Heart of Glass, Crabtree Remix, followed by Electric Youth. This kind of vaporwave vibes. Anybody who knows that style of vaporwave, dreamy, electronic, this song Innocence might be known, maybe something you know already. We play it on Hi-Fi. Actually, a lot of these last four songs are songs you would hear in rotation to give you an idea. So it definitely ends more familiar than it did, than it began. So you ready? Ready for the next set?
Yeah.
Blondie,
yeah.
Heart of Glass, Willis's pick, The Deep Dive.
Trust love's gone behind. This is The Deep Dive with Greg and Willis.
Hi-Fi Dream, you're listening to The Deep Dive. We're coming out of a song called Innocence by Electric Youth from 2013. Very, very in the pocket of vaporwave. If you're familiar with that genre, then it's Chromatics and those types of groups. Before that was Blondie with Philip Glass doing a remix of Heart of Glass, the Crabtree remix, which is completely different, like symphonic and classical and ambient and just totally different than the original. Had me in a trance, actually. And then all of a sudden we came back to reality on a spaceship. It's like Electric Youth kind of enters the room. What did you think of it? Tell me your thoughts.
It was a nice warm hug after kind of going dark, right? We were a little bit dark with Philip Glass, but the Electric Youth was a refreshing dream pop. I would call it reverb, lots of reverb. And synthy, like pop melodies, and the like the I love the do 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 do. It's so simple, but that clean, crisp electronic sound, it's makes me feel happy and optimistic. And so coming from something kind of you know, more somber to something optimistic is a good switch around. And definitely I agree that Square in the Hi-Fi Dream Pocket, if I were to talk about the different categories of, now we call it the D-A-B-E-S-T, the best.
The best.
This one's got the D, the dreamy, it's got the atmospheric, the A, it's got the beats, it's got the B, and it's got the E for electronics. So we got some Dabe in this song. And
yeah, I agree with you.
And it doesn't sound like it's more than 12 years old. It sounds pretty current to me in its production. But I do agree, compared to Chromatics, so it does sound very similar.
All that Italian disco kind of, to me, she sounds like Sally Shapiro singing. They all are in the same world together. You know, they all exist together in this sort of Italian disco kind of vaporwave world. But, you know, not breaking any ground with that one. That's okay. Sometimes a beautiful melody and a simple pop song, but not sounding like what is now considered pop. Sabrina Carpenter, Olivia, whatever, all these people, Ariana Grande. It's like, give me a more educated version of that, maybe. And that's what I feel like this is. In a good way, though, in a good way. Nothing wrong with those other pop artists, but I need more. And that's like, this gives me more than just the simple sheen of pop music. But Electric Youth, most of their music sounds like this. And I think they've reached a creative kind of peak. They like, there's really not much more, and that's why Chromatics stopped making music, mostly because it's like, what else can you do with this genre? Because right. The minute you change, you're no longer really doing this style. So they've all kind of not fizzled but stopped. Sally Shapiro notwithstanding, because she keeps making music, and it all kind of still sounds the same. It's just very good at the same time. So anyway, the last four songs, maybe not that version of Heart of Glass, but that song in particular, the last four songs are very much what Hi-Fi Dream is. And you chose for your last pick a song that has always been, to me, one of the great examples of why pop music in the 80s was so good. Because you had a band like Johnny H. Jazz put a song out that went to number one or two, was a massive one-hit wonder, so to speak, in this country, because people embraced a very intelligent, well-written pop song back then. And there's a reason why this made it to the radio, even though the band was never to be heard from in America again, because it was that good of a song. And it stands up to this day. That's why it's in rotation on Hi-Fi Dream. Tell us about your pick.
1988 was definitely... there was a lot going on musically, and even this one, Shattered Dreams, kind of broke through, like you say, and it was very catchy, and you could sing along with it.
Glad you used sophistopop in your notes.
Right? That's a new word for me, but it makes so much sense now. I never used that word before. I didn't know what it meant, but even back then, so I was 18 years old, and to me, this song was like, okay, I like it, but I can't admit it. I can't, you know, I'll sing along with it, it's so catchy, but I'm not going to say I'm a Johnny Hates Jazz fan. I'm not going to go to a Johnny Hates Jazz concert. I don't know if they have.
I don't think anybody can. Anybody can ever do that again.
But the, you know, you can hear this probably now in Target or Safeway, right? It's the background music, and I think it fits a sophisticated adult contemporary niche, and it always will. And it feels to me, because of that, it feels kind of simple and cliche, but I still never got tired of it. And so this is a strange place for me, a song like this. But now, you know, playing it on Hi-Fi Dream and the Deep Dive, I think it's cool because the context can be totally different. Don't think of it as the Target or Safeway song. Don't think of it as the hit from the 80s. Think of it as a song that stands on its own, and just listen to it and listen to the production, feel the vibe. It's all there. And this song is amazing. It's just so subtle. And so that's the sophistication of it, is that it's there, and it got recognized, you know, in the 80s, and then it got blown up. And so now people say, well, this is pop, right? But actually it's a really good song. So I don't know. It's as a casual listener like me, it's very easy to just take a pop song, like even if it was Michael Jackson, say, oh, well, that's a good song because everyone loves it. But it's not. That's not how it works. Everyone loves it because it's a good song.
Right.
And so some people will get tired of a song and say, oh, it's overplayed. I don't like it anymore. But how can you not like it just because it's overplayed? It's still a good song, right? You're just tired.
But it's natural. It's natural that for that to happen, you know, where you stop really caring about a song because you heard it too much.
Right. You need a break.
I never tired of this one, though. But, you know, what is a good pop song? A good pop song is simple enough that the average person can hear it and memorize the hook, some hook of the song. So it has to have something that sticks with you. That's what the elements of a good pop song are. And what's clever about this type of a song is that it's simple enough. Like you said in your notes, it's a simple melody. It's a simple song. But yes, on the surface it is, because there's that great chorus. If now you're giving me nothing but shattered dreams, it's a great hook. You could sing along to it, but there's also way more complexity. There's a bridge after the second chorus. It's like a weird, like wind chimes come in.
Yeah.
An alternate melody comes in. There's bridges. That part, it's like, I thought it was you.
Yeah.
It goes into these bridges. You said you'd die for me. Like there's like these little bridges that are so melodic and beautiful. In a regular simple pop song, those things might not exist. But in this song, it takes a pop arrangement and kind of turns it around. It's very, very well written. And it deserves to be as popular as it is all these years later. So great choice. So glad you picked it, because I don't know if I would have thought to pick it. But ironically, about 3 weeks ago, I put a remixed version of it into rotation, like a longer version of this song. It's not totally remixed with like a heavier beat or anything, but it was just sort of enough to make it less of a pop song.
Okay.
And gotcha. I had just put it in, and then I saw it on your list. I was like, perfect, perfect timing to link it up. I needed to go pop to end it because we were very avant-garde early in the show. So I went with Japanese Breakfast, which I think you really liked it according to your notes.
Yeah. Yeah, never heard of them before. Never heard of Japanese Breakfast, and I think I must have been living in a hole in 2017. Because wow, I really like this band, and you know, learning who the lead singer Michelle—actually, it's just her, right? Michelle Zahner.
Yeah, but there's a band. I think there's a band.
Yeah, she plays with a band, but it's mostly her. And it's so inspiring. Like, she's inspired by Karen Oh from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, who's like her, a Korean American, and being indie and kind of just doing your own thing and making music, singer songwriter. But the story, though, I mean, I'm sorry to go into it, but the story
is
like she took time off from making music to go stay with her mom, who was ailing, and then, you know, her mom eventually passed away of, I think, bile duct cancer, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's there's a little bit of tie there for you. And from that, she wrote a Grammy-nominated album. And how did I not know of Japanese Breakfast? I guess I didn't watch the Grammys that year. But also, she's an author. She's written a New York Times best-selling book, and now they're writing she's writing a screenplay about the movie. They want to do a movie about, I forget which part, but probably, you know, she's just super creative.
And she won me over, man. I saw her on stage at a festival back in 17 or 16.
Uh-huh.
And I watched her. And my heart was completely hers. She just like had such charisma on stage. Yeah, she just, it wasn't like a confidence. It was more just like she was comfortable in her skin.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing better than when you see somebody on stage who's like knows they belong and they're in control. And no matter whether it's guy, girl, whatever, like it's just something so powerful of seeing a presence on stage just dominate. And she just had a look and a vibe to her that I was hooked. So I went backwards to kind of like listen to the, I wasn't as into the, them at that time. And this song was always the one to me that was like a early 60s girl group pop song from, that was like in another lifetime. This was the number one song in 1963. So, or in another alternate universe. But it came out in the 2000s. She was very popular for a little while, has put out some newer things. None of the songs are as great as this one to me, but she's definitely a good artist.
I feel that 50s vibe. I can picture her singing this into one of those old vintage ribbon mics.
Right.
It's got a little bit of that sound too. But very cool choice. And I thank you for introducing me to a sound and an artist that I definitely will follow.
Well, thank you, because you introduced all of us to some great songs this week, as always. So the last week, like I said, if you go back and look at this list, go to the spec.com. All the lists are up there. You could link to the Spotify or Amazon or YouTube playlist, I believe, so you could hear the songs in order without us. But we started very eclectic, and we opened up in the middle and kind of came back to what I think are some great pop songs. So make it a little easier to wind out of the show. But great job, dude. Next week we'll run a replay show. But on the other side of that, we'll have many more great ones to come. Anything you want to add before we go, brother?
What a good show. It always comes. It's always, you know, you never know where we're going to end up. But I'm always pleased with what we come up with as far as this mix. And this show is no different.
I love when we put the list together and it's, you know, kind of looks one way on paper. I usually look back at it at least once or twice to see if I'm happy with it. But when we get to sit and listen to this, it's always a whole other perspective. And I love this part of it, just sitting and listening to what we chose. So in order. So now everybody else gets to do that. Last two songs, Johnny H. Jazz, Shattered Dreams, Japanese Breakfast will follow it with Boyish. And that will close out Deep Dive number 88. We'll see you next week, brother.
All right. Thanks, man.
Shattered dreams. You're listening to The Deep Dive on Hi-Fi Dreams.